At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
My American.
I've been tracking Sasquatches for 25 years.
My American.
Global awakening to the new world order.
My American.
Artificial intelligence.
My American.
Do you believe in UFOs?
Yes, sir. Extraterrestrial.
You're listening to Pardon My American.
Well, happy Wednesday.
What is... it is Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like Wednesday.
This week's kind of flying by.
Greg couldn't get his hair done in time. He's not going to make it to the show.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding, man. Guy's got a sore throat.
His throat is bothering him.
His throat is bothering him. We had to chat up with him, and he said, I'm going to sit out.
I can't do it today, guys.
He's, my throat's hurting really bad.
I got to let my throat heal.
Dogbit, dude.
My throat hurts too much.
It's that cold weather, man. The cold temperatures around. It's all right, man. He could make it. We sometimes can't make
it. You know? Yes, shit happens.
He said he's going to try for Friday,
sometimes
though.
You don't feel well. Things come up. It's whatever.
Well, and when you have to talk for an hour and your throat hurts, it does not feel better at the end. I can tell you that right now.
It's true.
So I wish him well. I wish him well.
Greg.
I hope he's doing well. Hopefully he's going to be here for Friday. And I'm sure he will.
Yeah.
I mean, Greg's not usually down for more than a day or two. Oh, damn. Nice crack. Anyways, happy Wednesday. Happy Wednesday. We are here. Sorry we're a little bit behind. Took me a minute to get here.
It's all good, dude.
It's all good. Some fun stuff. Interesting stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
More planes crashing. That's the thing still.
Is there another one that went down?
There's another, like, little smaller planes.
I did see that Delta is now going to be giving every passenger on that plane that went down in Canada $30,000.
Oh, wow. Is that worth it?
How do you mean?
I say yes.
Like, if you survive a plane crash and you get $30,000?
I'm saying, would you do it knowing? I mean, obviously they survived, you know?
Would I get on a plane knowing it's going to crash to hopefully get $30,000?
If they said to you, if they said, listen, we're going to DEI crash this plane, and you have a high chance of survival. High chance, but but you'll get $30,000 at the end of it.
Huh. I would say how high?
We on par here? We still alive? You say how high? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. How high? Like, how high is the chance of surviving?
80%.
Hmm.
It's not a bad chance.
That's toughy.
$30,000 doesn't seem like enough. I will say that much. I don't know that that's enough. I feel like you traumatized probably a lot of people right there.
Probably.
And I doubt a lot of them are going to want to fly, especially with you. You know what I mean? With Delta.
Oh, yeah. There's, like, regardless of $30,000, they're still not going to fly.
Yeah.
Not going to happen, dude.
But, you know, it was, listen, I think, and I said this last when we were talking about that particular crash, they did survive. So... that was pretty, like, that would be a pretty incredible thing to go through. You know what I mean? If you actually were involved in it, you get out, you're like, I just survived a plane crash. What are the, you know, it's rare.
Yeah.
And then they say, here's 30 grand. I'm down. I'll take it.
Yeah, I would definitely take it. I'm not going to complain that they would be giving me $30,000. For sure.
But you would want more. That's what I'm trying to say. Do you think there's any chance that they sue for more?
No.
I would consider it.
I mean, shit happens.
I would consider
it. It would depend on why it crashed.
Yeah, that's true.
If there was something happened and, say, the pilot was drunk or something, then yeah.
Okay, but I'm saying this. I'm sure some of the people in the chat have been in a car accident or something before. Right? You hurt your neck.
Yeah, yeah.
Something happens. You can get a lot more than 30 grand. So, like, you crash a plane?
Yeah, you can. But I'm not one of those fucking types of people that are just either. Something happens and I'm just going to go sue happy about everyone and fucking involved and I'm going to take everyone down.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I feel like that's not who I am. Like, if I get in a car accident and I get hurt, like, the insurance covered my fucking doctor's bills or something. I'm not going to be suing.
Long-term, suing
fucking and then trying to get ruin this person's life.
Yeah, but long-term, are you going to have complications, right? Like, are you going to have a permanently bad back, maybe have to be on disability? The other thing is, after watching those Senate hearings where they were, remember they had the FAA guys, the Delta, and how much money they make and how much they charge for shit that's dumb, shouldn't be charged for? $30,000? Do they pay people, like the plane crash where it hit the helicopter?
Mm-hmm.
How much do they pay out the families for that?
Oh, I don't know.
I'd be curious.
I bet they didn't.
They have to, man, right? I feel like they have to pay out something.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that.
Anybody know? Anybody in the audience know?
I feel like that would like, why is it news that they're getting paid $30,000? But
look that shit up right now. Look it up. Does plane, like, if you die in a plane crash, do they have to pay out for that? I'd be very curious to know.
You die in a plane crash.
What's the payout?
What's the payout? I mean, it's.
I feel like something has to go to the family.
Usually not. I bet it's usually not anything, dude.
How is compensation calculated after an aviation? How have we never. The average payout for a fund for death was $2.1 million. Victim Compensation Fund was designed to offer a no-fault, no-lawyer route for families for compensation as an alternative to suing the airlines.
Oh, that was after 9/11.
Same shit, though. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it was, you could argue, terrorists' fault.
So every family involved that had someone pass away got $2.1 million.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. Like, if you look at the helicopter crash, right? That particular incident. Mm-hmm. Let's say that they find that the helicopter is at fault, which is the government, the military.
That's true.
Wouldn't the military, have to pay out the families at minimum?
Yeah, you would think so.
So my point is if $2.1 million, now granted there's death involved, but I'm saying you couldn't squeeze $50,000 apiece, $100,000 apiece. I mean, you just put a whole group of people, 60 to 80 people, through very traumatic experience.
That's true. I mean, they probably could have dished out more.
I feel like they could have, right? They could have. But anyways, nonetheless, that's that. But there was a small plane crash. I believe Arizona. I think it was Arizona. Two planes collided, two deaths on that one. It's just, and so, like, we were talking about on the show last time. Like, is it a situation where the news is just talking about these things more?
Probably. I mean, that one got big headlines. So, I mean, it kind of goes down a trend. And plus, it's the same thing. Is news just reporting on things like that more, or are they just paying attention to it more because it just happened?
I think that's what it is. I mean, I argued that before.
Yeah, they're only writing news because that just happened the other day. So they're like, oh, another one. Yeah.
I don't think that it's a fear thing. I think Greg was the one that brought that up last time. I don't know that it's a situation where they don't want you to fly per se, because the airlines are invested with, you know, they get a lot of assistance, if I'm not mistaken, from the government, right? So there's money to be made by people flying. Obviously, them not having people fly, they would lose a shit ton of money. That doesn't seem like a thing a business would want at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Unless their government was just subsidizing, which it doesn't. I don't see that being the thing. Well, and how many flights are happening? There's thousands, tens of thousands of flights a day, right?
Yeah,
across the country.
Yeah.
So, and most of it's still small airplanes, to be very honest.
Most of it is.
Most of it is. And
it's very rarely that a full commercial fucking.
No.
Airline.
And usually it's in another country, down. Dude. Yeah, the code is not the same.
But they're all ran by the same companies.
Not all of them.
Well, that's true. I guess over there they have different.
They have different stuff, yeah. I mean, Delta was a big one for America. That's a big company. I mean, to have that situation happen. And I don't know all the details of why it happened. I think they're still looking at that. I know there was talk about it being a DEI thing. I don't know if that's true or not.
Nah.
But when you watch the video, and I did see some clear video.
It
kind of
looks like he just overshot the runway.
I heard it was two females. I don't know if that's true or not, but
I have no idea.
It does look like that, and it was snowing.
Like if something happened, they did get slowed down enough.
Scary shit,
something.
Though.
I don't know.
What's scary about it is, you know, I obviously you've flown recently. I've flown recently. There's always like children on the plane. There's always children on the plane. Yeah. Like one at minimum, one or two. And a lot of times they don't have their own seat. The parents are holding them in some aspects. Mm-hmm. And having that plane roll like that, that's what I was thinking. I was like, geez, man. Like how scary if you did have a kid on your lap or something, bear hugging your child as you're rolling in an airplane.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
The dude said that he was on the window seat and, you know, it started, you know, where he could see the ground underneath him and sparks flying. I mean, that's. Have you ever been in a wreck where you rolled? You have. But were you, yeah. Do you remember it? Actually?
Yeah.
Okay. So I've been there too. And when you're in that moment of rolling, you don't know how far you're going, what you're going into, nothing.
True.
You just are rolling and you know you're rolling. You know that it's not, you're in a bad position. But being on a plane, you're like on a runway. You're like, holy fuck. Like, are we going to, is this going to explode? Is it going to hit a wall? Like, you have no idea where you're at and what you're doing.
True. I almost think that knowing that you're like have flipped upside down would almost be a relief because it's not exploded yet. And at this point, you're still alive.
That's true. But that's just more time for you to think. I mean,
true. But in those situations, especially high adrenaline situations like that, time fucking slows down.
Yeah.
It slows way down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. If you're sliding on sparks flying and you're sliding in and you're already slowing down, that's more time for you to be like, what the fuck is going to happen?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, instantaneous shit, like that one plane, that the helicopter that hit it and it explodes straight into the water. I mean, you're talking about a fairly fast process of like shit going haywire and probably a lot of casualties right off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas this is like, they said that people were vomiting inside the, you know what I mean? There was like, mostly because of fuel, I guess. Like some of the fuel was causing people to vomit.
Oh, in the Delta one?
In the Delta one.
Hmm.
But people, I mean, dude, you're rolling. People are puking, screaming.
Yeah, but they were done rolling. Like it all happened. It was done pretty quick. It wasn't like they were just rolling for a while.
It was done. It was done. And puke does not slow motion, so.
And yeah, and I can see maybe puking afterwards just because of, like, so much adrenaline running through your body. And maybe you're just freaking out and you're just puking because you're freaking out. Dude. I don't think you're puking because it rolled.
I think you got, like, the one motion thing sickness. That has not been talked about is how many pants were shit in. Like, I think a lot. Because here's the deal. Like that,
all the pants
depending on how far that flight was. And I know me personally, I do not
like it. It was a short one. It was a short flight.
Okay, well, either way, I mean, you have to get to the airport early, and you're waiting, and I'm a guy who doesn't like using the fucking, I don't love taking a shit in random places, certainly not on a plane. I can't I don't know if I ever have, to be completely honest with you. I don't know if I ever shit on a plane. Peed, for sure.
I don't think I have either.
No, it's weird, because you always know somebody's out there waiting for you, and you're fucking dropping bombs.
No, right? I have.
Oh, man. I have. You must have had to really, but my point is, there are people like me sitting there holding that shit in for the airport. And then you fucking give them that bumpy ride that last couple seconds. And then you're out in the tarmac. You're not even at the fuck. I'm shitting my pants every time.
I feel like you should probably get $30,000 just for making somebody shit their pants.
I think so. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm saying 30 grand. Like, dude, you put me through hell. I pooped myself. These are nice jeans. You know, these ladies saw me poop myself. It's embarrassing. I want, you know, compensation.
But, I mean, I could see, like, if you're trying to go after them for money, but them just offering it right off the bat, you can't really be like.
All I'm trying to, listen, I'm not a Sue guy. I don't like that shit.
Yeah.
I'm with you. However, is the first offer always the best offer? I would say probably not. If they're saying, like, guys, here's 30 grand, you might want to say, like, hey, collectively, guys, do you think that's enough? Because I personally feel like if we, maybe 50, maybe 60 grand, I might not say much at 60. You know what I'm saying? I could take the year off. You know, some salary is about 60 grand. Yeah. You know, the average, I don't know what the average salary is, but I'm saying it's a year's salary. You could recover, if you will.
That's true. Be like, you're going to have to pay for my fuel and cars forever because I'm never flying again.
I want lifelong gas. You know, that's 60 grand, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, that's more than 60 grand. Either way, dude, I mean, I'm still going to fly. You know, I see people talking about it online. Yeah. Like, you know, something's up. And I thought the one guy that I thought was kind of funny with it was saying, I think we should bring back cheering when we land at this stage. You know, because back in the day when you land, everybody would be like, yay, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We should bring that back because now it's more likely you'll crash than land your plane. You know what I mean? So cheer. It's a celebration. You know what I mean? We made it.
Yeah, but I feel like if you're doing that, you're just expecting it to crash.
That's the point. That's the funny thing. It's like they crash so much now that like when you do land, it's actually like we're celebrating.
I've never done that. I've been on a plane when they have celebrated. They're like, yay, like congratulations.
You didn't, though?
I didn't. I was like,
oh. Man, party pooper, dude. I mean, I would clap.
I mean, I don't, nobody claps for me when I do my job.
Yeah, that's true, but
like just do your job.
I feel like if the plane's clapping and you don't, you look suspicious. You're like, fuck. I was hoping for that $30,000, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Yeah, robbed. Damn.
I showed you that Shane Gillis bit where he's, maybe I didn't, but he's on, there's a, he has a show, Gilly and something, I can't remember, but there's one of his clips where he's on the plane and the engine goes out, the second engine goes out, and the pilot's like, folks, you should call your loved ones, we are going to crash land this plane, you're probably all going to die, basically. And so everybody's calling their significant others, like, baby, I just want to tell you I love you, I don't know if we're going to make this, but, and then Shane, it cuts to him, and he's like, the car place that fixes his car, mechanic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
He's like, hey, fuck you, man. You piece of shit. I'm going to come down there and beat your fucking ass, dude. You fucking piece of shit. And they're like, what are you doing? He's like, man, I ain't calling people I love just to fucking chat my ear off. I'm going to call everybody I hate and tell them how much I hate them, dude. So then the whole plane starts calling, like, the wife is like, calls her husband. She's like, you know what? Fuck you, David. You're a piece of shit, dude. I never loved you. You know, right? So everybody's doing this and they're all like, yeah, cheering. And then the captain gets on. He's like, seems like the plane's going to be just fine. Like, fucking crash the plane. Fucking crash. You know, it gets to a point where you're just like, shit, man, I'm in a lot of trouble.
They fucking just dropped all their fucking, all their hate for everyone. He's and the best. Now it's not going down. That's
funny. The best, dude. I love that shit. Anyways, Zelensky, there's that. I kind of wanted to bring up that a little bit.
Which part? The part that he's a dictator?
Well, that was interesting. That was interesting. I haven't read into it a lot, but my understanding is he's kind of complaining at this
point. Yeah, because he's not getting money anymore.
Yeah, and I think if I'm not mistaken, you could verify this if you want to pull it up, but I think if I'm not mistaken, he was saying if America quits paying him, he's going to demand $250 billion from European countries.
Go for it.
That's what he said. He's like, I don't know, I just...
So do it.
We're going to have to expect $250 billion.
That doesn't... Why should we care about that? See, that's where I'm at. Like, you're going to deem... If you... America does...
Look it up. Time up while you're looking, man. I don't know how they sound either.
You, America, doesn't give me 250... How much? 250 billion?
250.
Or how much was he asking for? When
he asked for 250. I think he said just like that. 250.
And if you don't give it to us, I'm going to ask Europe...
Well, he's just saying that they're going to have to basically front the bill.
Good.
And you know how those interviews go. It's like all chopped Trump up and shit.
Mentioned this in the fucking the speech he did today.
Mm-hmm.
And how we've done pretty much paid out $200 billion or something.
A lot of money.
Insane amount of money.
Yeah.
And Europe has put out like a quarter of that.
Yeah, not much. Yeah, and they're the ones that are really, like, this is kind of...
This is their fucking problem.
Yeah, this is an area where, like, they can all be affected. They're the
most worried that, oh, Russia's going to come in and take Ukraine, yeah. And then he's going to go farther.
At some point, you have to have some common sense, right? Because this is going to turn into a situation where, like, the Middle East, where we're just paying into this whole thing constantly with no end. There's no end. You know what I'm saying? Like, us is... I think, what's the dude with one eye? What's that guy's name?
One eye?
The one-eyed dude. The ex-military guy in the government, one-eyed guy.
Crenshaw?
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of him. But he was saying, like, listen, you're just going to pay out for something that's not going to end. It's just never going to end. Like, it doesn't matter how much we give them. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to be able to... We have to pay them for the rest of their lives. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just... As soon as you stop, they're vulnerable again. And that's not a good thing for us.
Yeah.
Does it say anything about this, the 250? I swear that he talks about this.
Everything is Trump calls Zelensky a dictator. That's every fucking headline.
Billion. I'm looking this up. Zelensky. This was fake, dude. I mean, I guess it could have been. You never know nowadays.
Well, apparently we demanded if we were going to give them more money, we'd get half of its mineral resources. And he denied.
Here's this. You got my TikTok up?
Yeah.
Don't do the whole fucking, we don't need to do that. Just pull that up. I just saved the video. We'll see. It says, if the U.S. stops giving us money, we will demand at least $250 billion from Europe. So, I mean, take it for what it is. I don't know if it's real.
American money.
Yeah.
Now you can really hear his voice, though, and get the right accent. You know what I mean?
Good. Give us $250 billion, which are here in Europe, frozen Russian assets. No answer.
So he says, that's kind of a cut clip. I saved the first one I find. But he's saying,
$250 billion.
Give us $250 billion.
Yeah, which are here in Europe, frozen Russian assets. So he's saying there's frozen Russian assets that they have money that they have, and that he's demanding that they give that to him. And before this, if I'm not mistaken, and you guys could obviously look up the entire clip just so I'm not, you know, talking out my ass, but he says that, you know, if America quits sending over assistance, that they're going to need to have some form of assistance to come in for them to maintain. And so it's pulling on the fake heartstrings is what it is, right? Because he's basically telling the world, hey, if America stops, if they don't assist, if they don't help, we're doomed. You know what I mean? And if you're just an average person and you're looking like, who wants to have a country just be doomed? You know what I'm saying? Like, that sounds terrible, right? Just on surface level. I'm not talking about us.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you're saying Russia could take over Ukraine and kill everybody. You really want that just because you won't pay us money? And people are like, well, I don't think we should do that. I don't know if we should do, you know? But at the same time, it's kind of like I was having that conversation with a guy I work with, man, where he was talking about us giving aid and, like, helping out, like, why, like, with Canada. Like, us subsidizing Canada for all this shit. Like, if we quit subsidizing Canada and Trudeau says, well, if you guys don't do that, we're in a lot of trouble. I mean, is that really a country? Or is that just a subsidy of us? Like, is Canada another arm? Us just
paying their fucking way.
And so, listen, I'm not saying I'm ignorant. I'm not going to say I know everything. I'm not saying I understand the economics of us sending money. We've had these discussions before. Yeah. But I'm saying just in my dumb brain, I'm just like, so you're saying without us, you don't exist. And so that's the play is just like, well, you have to keep because otherwise we won't be.
Then
that makes no sense.
Then don't be.
It makes no sense. And the other thing is with this whole Zelensky thing, it's not just the 250, but apparently he kind of backed off the deal that Trump was talking about. And I think that's the ramification of what you hear about Trump talking about him kind of being a dictator, which... I mean, listen. I mean, what's the word of a dictator? There's no elections.
Yep.
He has been severely disliked. Think of a Trudeau style thing, right? The reason that he's still in position of power is basically because of the war.
Because of the war, and because he halted all elections. And from what I understand, all the polling over there says he's not very well liked anyway.
Yeah. And take that with a grain of salt, right? I mean, that's we have to.
Well,
do that.
I mean, the whole country is almost destroyed. So,
but he doesn't want to relinquish any land, and I think that's the problem. And actually, if I'm not mistaken, on my TikTok, I could have saved it, but there's the Russian. Let me see if I did because there's a Russian fella. I did. So if you go to the if you go to my TikTok again. Whoever this dude is, I don't even know who Russian government is, but if you go back, you'll see the woman, the second video right here. She's talking to somebody. Was it Andrea Kellen, the Russian ambassador to the UK, tells BBC News, why should Russia give back some of this land? Now, this is an argument, man. I'm going to be neutral because I feel like there's no good way to talk about this, but I do want to discuss this because...
They're explaining why Russia should...
She asked him about... making a deal where Russia gets back land, or Russia gives back the land that they've taken from Ukraine.
Okay.
What about giving back Ukraine some of its territory?
Why should we?
Well,
we have liberated these territories on which Russian people are living for centuries, actually. We suggested to Ukrainians several compromises in the course of the last 10 years, I will say. Minsk agreement, then Minsk II agreement. All the time we try to negotiate with them. Minsk II consisted, in fact, I'm not sure that everybody knows that Donbass will be part of Ukraine. autonomous with some special rules, but it should be part of Ukraine. It has been rejected now. And slowly we have moved to the point where we have come to that in 2022.
When you say, why should we give back some of Ukraine's territory, the answer from Ukrainians might be because it's Ukrainian territory. That's why Russia should give it back.
We suggested that, should I repeat what I have said? I don't think so. We have suggested many times that they should just care of the human rights over there, of normal human rights like it exists in Europe, that Russians should be full-scale Russians and Russian-speaking population should be a full-scale, a normal part of Ukrainian society without prohibiting Russian language and all of that stuff. So.
Okay, so what he's saying, and I understand that he's got a very deep voice, bro.
Man, the Russians.
It's very deep. What he's saying is that there's certain territories that they've taken that are primary, and we've actually discussed this, that are primarily Russian citizens living there.
Yeah.
And so with the Ukraine and Russia, and again, I'm not a historian, I don't know all the details, but I do remember that there's a lot of Russians living in Ukraine and Ukrainians living in Russia, and they've, you know, kind of, like, you know, Canada, there's Canadians born in Canada, live in the U.S., and U.S. citizens have moved to Canada. We're close neighbors, and people have migrated such, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And I don't really know how that breaks down with the territories back in the day. So that's kind of one thing. Like, back in the day, how the borders were set, I don't know if people went there to be with family and stayed, you know, that were Russian. Either way, he's saying that these areas, these territories of Ukraine that they've taken is Russian, predominantly Russian citizens living there. Yeah. And they should be a part of their motherland, Russia. I don't know if that's a good argument by any means.
Well, I think Putin's argument about the whole thing was that was all originally Russia's land anyway.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember why it became.
That's not what I'm saying. I don't remember.
I don't know why it became not part of Russia. Mm. But his whole thing was, the whole reason for all of this, it was
NATO.
He's trying to push back on NATO. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, he's like, well, we can just take back the land that we used to have.
Well, so here's the thing. This is where it gets dicey, because then you get people getting their feels and shit, and they start getting upset. You know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. Wars are fought throughout history,
mm-hmm.
and land is taken, and sometimes it's given back, sometimes it's not. And that land becomes part of something else. That's how countries are formed. That's how they grow. And I'm not saying you can like that or you can hate it. But that's reality of how areas are taken. I mean, if you look back in history.
That's how the fucking world works. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Anytime you have a conflict or a war or anything, to the victor goes the spoils.
And see, they talk about Russia losing a lot of people, and they may have. I don't think we'll ever know the real numbers. That's a good correct, dude. I don't think they'll ever know the real numbers of I think they're lying. I think they're both lying. I don't know how many Ukrainians have passed away. I don't know how many Russians have passed away in this war. And I don't know you're ever going to get an accurate answer. They obviously want to make it seem like they've had less loss. Okay, but let's say arguably that Russia's taken more loss. That's a lot of times true when you invade another country. The invading country loses more people because they put more people in there and the defenders are in their homeland and can often kill more.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, though. If Russia took land, if they were able to occupy this land,
mm-hmm.
good luck to Ukraine to get it back. I mean, that's how I would say. Like, they took it. They beat you, and you're no longer there. You're no longer running it.
Yeah.
If in the negotiating table, this is where I think it's going to be tricky and interesting where Trump's going
to
go.
That's not a very good tactic, either. Just give it back.
Well, the point is,
do you want to make this better? Just give it back.
I guess it would come down to, like, what's the meaning behind it, right? Like, what was the initial reason? And I know we talked about NATO. That is seemingly one of the reasons. But if you're going over there and invading, which is a big deal, I mean, right? Like, any invasion is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that reason is, you did. And lives were lost on both sides. And money was put into this. And I find it hard.
Some money. Apparently, they don't know where half of it went.
That's true. But I'm talking mostly about Russia, right? Russia put money into doing this invasion.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. If you just say, get back the land and you leave, Russia gains nothing out of all the loss.
Mm-hmm.
Other than maybe you could argue that it stopped NATO from going in there. Maybe. Okay. And Ukraine has all this money that we've given them, supposedly. Who knows where that's going. and they get their land back and nothing happens. So it's like, I just have a hard time believing Russia is going to be okay with that. There has to be some... somebody described it this best. The opportunity, and I think this is on Joe Rogan, the opportunity for Ukraine to have peace was when they were actually had turned the tides a little bit on Russia. They had the control. They had the power at the moment. Russia was kind of being defeated for a brief period of time, like a year or two ago. And that was the opportunity for Ukraine to say, listen, we're now winning. We want to stop this. Give us our land back. And then we'll call this good. But what happened is they didn't. Seemingly, Zelensky was wanted more, right? For lack of a better word. And continued to go. And then Russia turned the tide again.
Mm-hmm.
And now Zelensky no longer has that, we're winning this. So Russia now seemingly is controlling this.
Well, yeah.
And now they don't have much of a bartering tool anymore. And so could have, you know, greed been an issue? Listen, I think both parties are wrong. I think we've said that numerous times, right?
Yeah.
I think both parties, I don't think Russia should invade it, but I also don't think that Ukraine is innocent either. They have their own issues. They have their own problems.
They have a lot of issues.
Yeah.
It's like we've said before, that's one of the most corrupt fucking countries there is.
I mean, it has been for a while.
So, I mean, you got to believe that there is probably a lot of other shit going on that isn't talked about normally.
Yeah.
I mean, even fucking Putin in some interviews has said it's not just the NATO thing. They've been developing fucking bioweapon labs over there and all that kind of shit. I mean, none of that has actually been hard proven.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Well, just so not to cut in, but I know we're having some technical difficulties right now with streaming. So I know some people were glitching and the sound's cutting out, and I apologize. Unfortunately, if it's hard to watch, when we put this out later tonight, it should have zero glitches.
Yeah, I'll just upload the video.
Yeah, we'll upload it and it won't be glitching. It's not glitching on our end. Unfortunately, with YouTube, it seems to be doing that. So we apologize if you're trying to watch and it's all over the place. If you can even hear this right now, I guess would be the case. But nonetheless, we'll continue, you know, because we're still good on our end here. I don't know if Trump is able to. I don't know if he's able to get this fixed as quick as he wants to fix it, and that's okay. The idea for me, I think, is the whole literal thing with Trump is that he said he was going to do it on day one. I've always told you that I'm not really into that whole like literal day one. He did come in right away and make this a priority. And he has talked to Putin. He has talked to Zelensky, which is something that Biden did not do. And so I think the ball's rolling now. And I think that's what the whole thing's about. Now, they're both stubborn.
Well, yeah.
They're both very stubborn. And I don't know how you come to an agreement on ending this. And not just ending it quickly, but having it last more than a couple years before Russia does it again. Or Zelensky does something again. Because Putin's not going anywhere.
No.
Zelensky loses the most out of this. Because once this war is over, it's almost guaranteed that he's not going to be their president anymore.
Well, it depends. He's the president right now. I mean, what is there to reinstate elections besides him?
Well, that would be an issue. Yeah, I mean, that would be an issue that he would... I don't know if it'd be smart for him, but I guess he doesn't... Because, listen, I don't think they're in a position... Obviously, he's played his hand, man. He's announced to the entire world that without assistance, they're nothing. And that's...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Not a good card to play if you decide that you're going to be something afterwards and you're going to like just relinquish control, stay in control. Now, if Poland and all these other countries say like, okay, the war's over and you're still running the shit and you're being a dictator now.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to go start something with them, how are they going to be able to defend themselves? Especially if us,
they're
we're
not.
Like, they're not. They're not.
Oh, well. You dug this hole.
I know, but my point is why do that, knowing that you usually that dictatorship comes, at least I feel like that dictatorship happens in a place where you have control and power and money. You know what I mean? When you look at dictatorships, they generally have form of power or backing.
I don't think he actually became this way until the war. And he started getting all this fucking money and all these fucking weapons and all this shit. And now he's just in a state of, this is it now.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Who knows? I don't know. I'd be willing to bet it honestly doesn't go on much longer.
It depends on if we pull. It depends on if we pull the funding. I don't think Europe steps in to do what he's asking
either. No, I don't think it do either, but I think there's going to be a deal end up being made at some point. There has to be.
The harsh words that Trump is saying right now, if that's any indication, then I can see that in the near future we're going to just cut ties. You know what I'm saying? I think Trump...
Yeah, why wouldn't we?
He had the meeting with Zelensky, or at least members of the cabinet have had the meeting with Zelensky. There was talk and pushback about Trump inviting Putin to America or meeting in a middle ground, which I don't see as a negative thing. I feel like regardless of how bad Putin is, that's part of the process. You not talking is not helping the situation. So get him at the table. Let's figure out what we got to do. And what I foresee is that Putin, because he wants to look good. You got to remember, Putin wants to look good. You know what I mean? Like, he has full control of his country.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Russians want to keep this war going either. So he's a lot like Trump in the sense of, like, he wants to have the image and legacy still be good for him with his countrymen, right?
Yep.
So I could see Putin coming out and be like, we'll definitely do a deal. We just want to keep this little land right here. Okay, we can stop it. We'll keep this territory. It's Russian predominantly anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And they can keep the rest, and we'll leave them alone and blah, blah, blah. And he'll smile, and Trump will come out and say, Putin's willing to stop the war. He's going to take these couple areas here. And Zelensky will be like, fuck no. And then America says, listen, you ain't going to get a better deal.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah, I don't know, man. I can see Zelensky just being the little fucking little fuck and just being like, no, we just need more money and we can win this.
I know, but that's the point though, is who's going to give him the money, right? If we don't give him the money and he's saying that he needs $250 billion, that's the Russian assets that he could use, and they don't, if America backs out...
Well, then it's just going to be like, you don't get a fucking say in this.
It's a rock and a hard place. It's a rock and a hard, because here's the deal. If America does back out and they say we're not sending any more money over, let's say Europe is thinking about it and they go, okay, listen, we do have $250 billion. We can put that towards the war. With America backed out, France and Germany and all the other countries are going to say, well, here's the deal. We saw how fast they went through that $200 billion.
Yeah, right.
With no resolution at all. And if America is not going to pay anymore, they're going to run through that and they're going to come back for more. And who's going to want to put the money in?
What is it, about $200 bill a month?
$200 bill a month?
At this point, it's like every month we send another fucking...
Well, it's like $8 billion, $20 billion, $50 billion. I mean, it's been, what, $200 billion? You said roughly.
Oh yeah, and you're
that's
right.
A course of a couple of years. Yeah. So hypothetically though, that $250 billion, let's say it lasts a couple of years. There's no indication that this war could be even over in that. And Russia has enough finances to keep this going for much longer than Zelensky does.
Yeah. So he's probably doing, what, like $4 or $5 billion a month.
Well, I mean, if they quit giving it to their other cabinet members and shit, buying Ferraris and stuff, maybe they'd have more.
Yeah. Where the fuck's all that money going? If you only get hookers, you only got half of it.
Hookers.
Where's the other $100 billion, dude?
Mm.
Like, what is happening over there? I mean, obviously, during all the fucking interviews and shit, Zelensky's just coked out of his mind. He's fucking twitching.
I mean, he's got a little Scarface in him, you know what I'm saying? He's doing a little blow pile on the old desk over there. And in the fucking butt sex, you know?
he's enjoying himself.
Yeah.
For sure. That's where some of it's gone.
Do you think? I mean, listen, you're a country that's never seen that kind of money. I'm just being real. I don't know that Ukraine has ever just had any person ever. I understand that countries have money that they produce.
Yeah.
Obviously, GDPs, they all have their own. But just to have $200 billion come in, that's not common. So that's just like, man, you know, that's like, here's the thing. We all know this to be true. You get a loan, you get a large tax return. You get, you know, even students, they get, you know, they get that money and it's for your books and shit. And you go, well, yeah, I'm going to buy the books, but I'm also, you know, I haven't got a chance to, yeah. It's been a while. I you know,
when we get this $5,000 check from Doge.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. We'll get there.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of fucking spending.
My point is we all have debt and you could just say, just take that $5,000 and let's put it towards our debt, pay off some shit.
Yeah.
And that would be the smart thing to do. But wait, what general public does? They go, listen, why don't we put $3,000 into the debt?
I mean, we can have fun with then, some of this.
Yeah, let's take two and let's go on vacation.
I mean, we could we'll use some of it responsibly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we deserve some fun.
Yeah. We're in a war, goddammit. we need to, you know, and that's what I think it is. I honestly think that's what it is. They got excessive money coming in. And honestly, think about in the Biden administration, there really seemed like we could just get as much as we need. I mean, really, they were just getting money whenever they asked. They were just, here
well,
you go.
Well, then you got to find out, is Doge going to look in and see that the half that they don't know where it went, did it even make it over there? Were there people here lining their pockets with that money?
I don't know. I'm sure there was people making money here.
Probably.
There's some kickback of some form. Some kickback. But the truth is like, and I'm sure not to just pick on Ukraine, but I would argue that most countries that get money from other countries, whether it's us or anybody else, probably put some of it towards what they say they're going to. And then they, we're going to invest this in something else. You know probably. What I mean? So listen, I'm not saying it's not common. We do it. I mean, America does it. Let's be real. Like they say we're going to put money into this and it gets split up into other shit that no one knows about, you know? But at the end of the day, like, I owe nothing to Ukraine. That's how I feel about it. I owe nothing to Russia either. So you've said it before. Greg said it before. And I've said it before. It's a war that we shouldn't be involved in. You know what I mean?
Should have never even stepped foot in it.
We shouldn't have. We should have monitored it. And
yeah, if it got to a point where it became threatening to U.S. Mm-hmm. itself, then, yeah, that's a different thing. But it never even got to that point when we started sending millions and millions.
Well, the problem is even with like World War II, like we weren't involved at all until Pearl Harbor happened, right? And there's a lot of shit that says
that was on
that
on
we wanted
we
them.
Instigated it. Well, so we could get in the war
to get in. Yeah, we were like, I don't know that we instigated it per se, but we were hoping that it would in some form.
I mean,
or another.
There was. I've heard that there was things done to make them want to do it.
Sure. So however that's broke down.
Yeah.
Why do we have to be there from the beginning? This is in a faraway land. It's over there. You observe it. We have great intelligence.
Great big oceans separate.
And
us.
You watch it and you go, okay, listen, you guys do your thing. Do what you got to do. This is your fucking... But you set that warning up, right? You mm-hmm. tell Russia, you tell... Listen, the minute that you hit here, the minute that you do this, the minute that you bring out a nuclear bomb or threaten with nuclear, we may have to get involved. You don't want that. So just do your shit. Have that schoolyard fight, okay? But the minute you pull a gun, more people might get involved. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with it. There is no reason for us to do this. And honestly, if we wouldn't have, I think Ukraine probably would have fell very fast, unfortunately, for them.
Probably.
And then who do you put the blame on? NATO? Did NATO set Ukraine up knowing? Would NATO have jumped in?
I don't think they set Ukraine up. I think it just got to a boiling point, honestly.
I know,
where
but why?
Putin was just like, you know what? There's no other leaders right now that are going to stop me right now. And I'm threatened, and now it's time to take
I understand action. That. But if NATO was the issue, and Ukraine is not a NATO country,
mm-hmm.
If we wouldn't have helped, do you think NATO would have stepped in and said, like, we have to defend them because this is about us and they're going to get taken over and then Russia's one step closer to others?
I think NATO was just part of it. I think that him thinking that there was nuclear labs and all nuclear and fucking bio labs and shit being right there, he was taking that as a threat, and he was just like,
I don't know how much I buy into that.
The biolab shit?
I don't know if that's a thing. I mean, I know that he's talked about it, of course, but I'm not sure that that was like some big, like, we've really got to stop this. I really think that he saw an opportunity that Ukraine was weak, that NATO was kind of pushing.
Yeah, I don't know. And that's where I'm conflicted nowadays. Is we've been told a story for so long about Russia and all these fucking different people, and then we find out how much propaganda. We haven't been told, how much propaganda has been dished out to us, how much shit we've been lied to about constantly, and then I'm like, does everyone? I don't know what to fucking believe. Is he actually the worst fucking human on the planet? Like he's been made out to be our whole life?
I think it's good. I think it's good to question it. I think it's healthy to question that. I also would warn, right, that just because the pieces align that way to where I think if you would have said before all this, like, is Russia bad? Like you, I think most people say like, yeah,
definitely yes.
I think Putin is probably pretty corrupt, and I think Russia is probably not in a great position with their citizens and the way Putin's running it and all this stuff, right? Just historically, you would say that's probably not a great situation. Then when this stuff happens and it comes out and you start
post
to see
2015
USAID and how much money we spent on propaganda, making countries look bad, how much money have we, why is it that Russia's more than any country, even China, which is the most blatant of just like do their own thing, fuck everybody else, right?
Yeah.
Russia, for whatever reason, has consistently
always been the worst.
They've been the villain.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of money put towards that. Now, this is by no means, be very clear, support for Russia. I think Russia is faulty to the highest level. There's a lot of issues. I saw Banyulson on here said that he doesn't know if, you know, he's always thought that maybe Putin's not as bad as he was said. That may or may not be true. I think to your point with all the findings and how much we've manipulated and kind of did this whole thing with money that we didn't even know was going to it, it lends to question whether it's as accurate as we say. But my gut feeling tells me that, like, anytime you have a leader that's been in office that long, you know what I'm saying, and has that much control over a country and has seemingly done some pretty terrible things, probably still not a good situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is he the worst in the world? Probably not.
I have no idea. Probably not. I have no idea what to think anymore.
I think China is a bigger threat, and I still think that to this day. Russia's a huge land. I think that's part of it. It's a big-ass territory.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at, like, the goods and how much money they make for themselves and the resources, I feel like China's movement one way or the other dictates a lot more of the world, like America's does. If America makes a bold decision, drastic one way or the other, the whole world feels that. China, I would argue, is in that same boat, right? If they do something radical, the world feels that. I'm not sure that Russia's quite there. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about their military power, but like China has goods. They have resources. Yeah. We have goods and resources. We also have extremely powerful militaries, both. Russia is not weak by any means, but I don't think they're as powerful as maybe we were led to believe before.
Yeah.
Just based off the fact that you went into Ukraine and you've been struggling a little bit, regardless how much we're putting in it. You're talking about a very small country in Ukraine. You have struggled. You can't deny that there's been some struggle.
Yeah.
Excessive loss of life. And that kind of makes you go like, are you really strong?
Are you just counting on numbers?
Or is this like a North Korea where you just like pump up that you have all this shit? You know what I'm saying? And that
who knows? I don't know.
You know, you had to bring North Korea in, dude. I mean, I'm just being real. You had to bring soldiers from North Korea to help.
I guess we'll find out in the future. I assume if things trend the way they're trending with stuff coming out and we're finding the actual truth about things, I imagine we would find truth about
maybe
things all over the world.
That's going to be a tough pill to swallow when it comes. You know, I can't imagine a day where they come out and say, guys, Putin's pretty good.
I'm not saying that's what
I know
it's going
to
do.
But like people won't be able to swallow that one. They'd be like, no, he's still pretty bad. You know what I mean? Even if they came out and said, hey, we manipulated the whole thing. That's going to be a hard one to swallow. It just will be.
It probably won't ever be said. It'll probably just be more of a positive relationship and working country to country, And the thing that will get exposed is the CIA and the FBI and all the fucking bullshit that have been lying to us about everything our whole lives.
Yeah. It's going to be a can of worms that some people are
going to have
a hard time
dealing
with.
It's tomorrow. The vote for Cash Patel is tomorrow, I think.
I thought it already was. Am I wrong?
I think it's tomorrow.
I saw a video that said that he was confirmed, dude. Am I wrong on that?
I don't know. I seen something a few hours
ago. I was working all day. But look at Cash Patel. When's he getting confirmed? Patel confirmation. I don't know why I thought it was. Oh, ahead of confirmation vote. Yeah. So, yeah, it should be tomorrow?
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
I think it seems like he's going to get in.
Yeah, he just picked up another vote that wasn't initially going to vote for him.
So. I feel like he's going to get in. And we'll see.
When he gets in there, I feel like a lot of shit's going to...
We will see.
I'm just saying, I feel...
I know, it's okay. You can get that tingle.
I feel like some shit's going to go down where we're going to get some information.
If you're basing off what he's saying, then yes,
him and what was that one guy you brought up said too, or I seen a video also the same guy, I can't remember his name. He said, day one, on day one when Cash Patel gets in, is when all the fucking lists and all the shit everyone's been waiting for is getting released.
Yeah, see, the issue, the concern that I have,
I hate the phrase day one.
I know it's that's part of it. I want it all, and I want it to come out. I also know, if you're being semi-realistic, that like you're going to get into office, you're going to adjust a little bit. You got to get your shit going. You got to get your people around you. And then on top of it, like, I want the Epstein list. We all want the Epstein list. That was an example that Glenn Beck was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I say this with a giant but, that needs to come, and if he gets in, I think it will. But there's some transformation that has to happen. And I want to be able to give him time to make those transformations happen, because that's, you're talking about a very swampy swamp.
Yeah.
And so I'm okay with not doing this whole day one shit on that particular.
How much of the FBI do you think gets fired?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of natural turnover. I think there's going to be turnover in general. And then I think people are going to see him and be afraid of him just because of what even the Democrats are saying, that he's the worst thing. And it's gonna, and you're going to see a lot of people leave in fear of just like, they don't want to be a part of this group anymore. And then you'll see the firings happen. The people that are trying to hold out that have no business being there. And listen, I don't think that it should be all, I think that with these things, you have to be careful. You definitely want a mixed bag. It's better if there's a mixed bag. You want different opinions and different ideas to all co-mingle and create. So we obviously do not want an entire right-leaning FBI, because you never know how that will shift someday and come out to bite you in the ass. You know what I'm saying? You just don't want that. You never want a full Democratic group, a full right-leaning group.
Yeah.
You don't want that. You want a mix. And I'm hoping that there are people in the FBI and CIA that are good, Democrat and Republican, however you lean, that'll say, listen, we're going to make this work, man. We're going to work together. We're going to figure this out.
Well, that's the thing. The FBI, the director of the FBI and FBI agents are not supposed to be leaning either way.
But you do. I mean, see, that's what I've always said. You are. Like, I know you're supposed to be neutral, and you should be.
Yeah.
Judges and all that shit, right? But you do.
Yeah, because we know judges are.
Judges don't go home and go like, no party for me. I do not like Trump. I do not like Biden. I do not like anything.
I like no one. I will rule the law.
Yeah. You have opinions. You go, yeah, Trump's right, or Biden was right about this, or whatever. You do. So it's just, can you control them? And can you be neutral? And we need to find the people that can be neutral and can do what's best. It doesn't mean that you're always going to get what you want, but what's best.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping that's going to take time. And I think Cash Patel should focus on that for, I would say, the first 6 months, personally. Get 6 months of get in there, get your group together, clean the house, get your shit in order.
I don't think it'll take 6 months.
Listen, it's pretty corrupt. That's I know we've been back and forth on this, but I'm just saying there's some corruption there.
Yeah,
some...
but you can initiate and put people in place. You can fire people and put people in place you already trust to do the job.
I think you're gonna have to, like, you're gonna have a lot of long term employees. Okay, and I think instead of just going and firing,
like that's lower level.
I know, but it's got to be like, you remember Office Space. You sit them down. You say, "What is your job?" how long does it take you to do it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are you efficient with what you do? Do we need you? I think you need to go through and you need to figure out like who really does nothing and who actually does something. And I think that process may take some time. 6 months might be an exaggeration, but my ultimate point is man, don't rush this. You're here for 4 years, okay? Go in there and make long-term changes off the bat. Get this thing right. And once it's right and the ship's corrected, then start dropping the bombs. But we can't drop bombs with a shaky ship. You get what I'm saying? That doesn't make sense to me. I think you got to go in there and you got to get your legs under you. Mm-hmm. You got to get the group around you. So when you make these things, you have a strong leg to stand on. And that's where my focus would be with Cash. Like, slow down, dude. I know you're excited. I know we're all excited. We all want the info. And with you there, it should come. But knowing that it will come, we can kind of slow our roll. Like, he's in. He said he's going to. Let's see if he does. But go ahead and take care of your business. Let's get this business taken care of. You know what I mean? Because he could drop bombs if he does it too early and release all this shit. And he could have rogue FBI agents and all these other people causing fucking chaos because he hasn't taken care of them yet. You know what I mean? I just, you know, there's going to be whistleblowers and fucking hearings and we got it, you know. And I say
go in and drop a couple bombs right off the bat.
Well, you can drop a bomb. I mean, it's good to go drop
a few bombs.
You want to drop the Epstein list? Cool, man. Like, that's if you can drop that right off the bat and just go, guys, I'm going to give you this little treat and just soak this in for a while. And while you guys are soaking this in and coming up with your theories,
you got to set your direction.
Yeah, man.
Like, you have to let people know which way you're going.
You should go and just be like, the FBI killed JFK. Now give me 6 months, all right? And then we can all soak on that for a while because you know that's going to be news for Epstein, excessive JFK, you know, information, stuff like that that comes out. That's the kind of shit that when it drops, that's going to be a hard one to, like, overlap with other shit.
Yeah.
And people, the social media, the podcasts of the world are going to be devouring those Epstein files for weeks and months at a time. And that would be something that they could release and they say, here's your dish. Take your time eating this, folks, because I'm going to go get my stuff figured out real quick. And by the time you're done digesting it, I'll be back with more for you.
Yeah.
In a healthy spot. Hmm. You know what I mean?
We'll see.
We'll see.
I hope it's going to go in that direction.
Banyason says, well, if they release the list and it's all, what if they release the list and it's all redacted? Then shame on Cash Patel.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to hold you to Greg's point. We got to hold him just as accountable. If you're going to say you're going to do something and we picked the president because of you and because of other people that said they were going to do stuff, if you're not going to do it, then fuck you. You know what I'm saying?
Pretty much.
That's how I feel about it. I think that's probably how you feel too. So if you're not going to do and you're going to redact and make this all a bunch of, oh, cool, we got stuff, but we don't know what any of this shit means because you fucking blanked the whole damn thing out, then fuck you, man. We'll get somebody else in there. Hopefully Trump then will find somebody new.
We'll develop an AI to get rid of the redactions.
I'm sure there's something that we can do. We got to get a whistleblower. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I took copies of this.
But as of right now, Doge is doing work. Like I said, there's going to be thousands of IRS agents laid off or fired tomorrow, apparently.
Federal Reserve or Fort Knox.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. We'll see. I do think they could have done a little more than the 20% cash back. You know what I mean?
Listen. I'm not.
So it's what, $2 trillion?
That's what they say they want to try to, yeah.
That they or two, I forget trillion. How much it was. Two trillion that they saved.
Or they're hoping to save, or something to that effect, yes.
And 20% of it, they're saying, they're not saying it's going to happen. They're saying it's a good idea and they're pondering it. Mm-hmm. 20%, which would end up being like $5,000 per household going back to the people. Another 20% would be going to pay off debt. Mm-hmm. What's the other 60%?
Probably just to go to things that were actually. So that's what I'm saying with the taxes. Now, listen, if you're an anti-tax altogether, then this conversation is not for you. But I'm saying we all pay taxes. We all seemingly are okay with paying taxes towards things. I know, but we're okay with paying taxes towards things that we know is going to be an outcome. That's a good outcome, right? Schools, roads, yada, yada. I like, if you're going to put it towards something that's useful, I think exposing the waste and saying, listen, we have enough now that we save that we can kick you back some of that money. It's going to be a relief for you guys. $5,000 is $5,000. I mean, it's a good amount of money. And we're going to pay off debt or start paying off debt. and that other 60% or 50%, whatever it is, we're going to put it towards the things that you guys wanted us to put it towards, right? Mm-hmm. Like infrastructure, rebuilding some bridges, putting it back into education, but whatever it is, I mean, name it, right? And do it smart, then I don't think most people are going to care about that. Now, the real thing is the Pentagon, all the other spending that's happening.
That hasn't even started yet.
Yeah.
Their next big one. Well, yeah. I would argue them flirting with Fort Knox is a pretty big one.
I don't want to see it. And I know we brought that up, and I really don't want to discuss that, A, without Greg, and B, without them doing it. I want to see how this plays out, because right now it's all speculation. Is there going to be a live feed? Are they really going to go? Is Elon really going to see the gold? Yeah, there's
nothing been actually said what they're going to do.
So I don't want to speculate on it yet. Now, I do know that there's, for whatever reason, there's a lot of gold bars coming from England and other places coming into this country. Yeah, because
from what I understand, the market is better here for gold. So they're in a panic mode over tariffs, and everything is being changed, so they're moving the gold over here and getting more value for it. Or are we taking
Or do we send money other places, and when they go into Fort Knox, it's not going to be the gold bars that they said there are, and they're getting them back from the countries that they sent over. Or maybe they dish them out to other countries for whatever reason. Why would you do that?
Oh, fuck, we got to get those back.
Yeah, you walk in, it's a hollow room, you're like, one gold bar sitting there, like you see in the movie. Like, this is it? What the fuck's going on?
It's a bunch of fucking shit painted gold.
They just call UK and they say, bro, we need that fucking gold bars back. Stat. Like, they're checking. It's been 50 years. They're going to check. Bring that shit back.
They had to call up the church and be like, we got to get all that shit back.
Yeah. Sell the paintings.
Which, he's on his deathbed, by the way.
Who?
The Pope.
Oh, well. I feel like they're always on the deathbed.
Apparently, he has pneumonia in both lungs.
Can we just, I mean, listen, I'm not, like, all into it, but can we just get a Pope that's, like, not on the verge of death? Like, can we just get one that's, like, got some life?
Well, he was the youngest one, wasn't he?
But still, like, you can't get, like, a spry 40-year-old who's, like,
I don't captivating. Know. I think there's the requirements.
But, dude, fuck. Listen, man, if you really believe in faith and you really believe in spreading the word and getting the message out of what you believe and you're being genuine, like, an 80-year-old is not going to be the guy that's going to win over new people. It's just, I'm sorry.
With age comes wisdom.
Not always. With age comes breakdown. Well,
Joe Biden proved that.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you got a Trump and a Biden, like, sure, wisdom can be in one and not the other. But if you have a 40, 50-year-old guy who's charismatic and cares about the religion and wants people to see it and can speak, you know what I mean, and actually go places and spread the word of God, then why would you not want that? That doesn't make sense to me at all. Unless it's just for show.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know?
I have no idea. I don't really care. I'm not religious at all.
I understand.
And whatever the Pope does, I don't really
care. The Catholic stuff, I don't understand as much. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's a lot of we got to do this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's part of the we got to do this. Even though it's silly, it's, you know, we've been doing it. We got to do it. And I kind of just wish that we get back to, like, this is Jesus. This is God. This is what we believe in. Let's spread the word. Let's go help people. Like, can you imagine a young Pope that's going to Africa and going to places and actually doing, like, what Princess Diana was going to help in charities and going to help in orphanages and doing that shit? People saw that and they felt something about that. They're like, man, this woman is actually trying to help people. Like, and then you win people over. They love you for it. Yeah. Like, this Pope just gets fucking toted around on a fucking chair, goes to empty vaults where clearly somebody's in there filming. And, like, it's a spectacle. Yeah. It's not,
no,
like,
no one's been in here for decades.
No, you're just a glorified movie star. Like, that's what you kind of are. Like, you're not, what are you really doing to help the religion? What are you really doing to turn people into being Catholic? Like, what are you really doing? You're just a face. It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't like that. That's why I think a lot of people are turned off by this shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be insulting to people that are Catholic and I'm just saying it to an outsider like that. I just don't understand, like, the point of all this crap. Just, like, win me over with somebody who's, like, speaking truth. You know what I'm saying? Like, where, you know, you go to church and you get that good speech and you're just, like, you feel it. And you're like, oh. I mean, I've had that happen where I'm just like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, God, I feel this. Like, holy shit. I'm like, I feel happy. I feel like there's, like, love in me. And you get all that shit. I don't feel that with the Pope. It's like,
yeah, I don't either.
You're in a bubble riding around in a car. It's weird. You know what I mean? Like,
you're secluded in your own city.
It's like weird, like, human hamster. You know what I mean? Like, you're in a wheel of fucking, you're just a globe and you're just driving around waving because you have to be in a bulletproof globe.
Weird clothes.
And you have, like, a fucking mansion with tons of ancient shit in it that no one can see. You just like stole all the art and you fucking. It's just weird. I'm just
aliens
saying.
Aliens and shit in your museum.
Probably.
And, like, you won't tell anyone.
Probably.
Like, I bet there is.
I'm sure there's something. Anyways, yeah, it's about that time, guys. Listen, I understand. Like I said earlier, I understand we had some technical difficulties. We apologize about that. Shit happens. But thanks for sticking with us. If you were, we still have a ton of people in here. And I obviously can hear us because we're getting chats relating to the shit we're talking about. So I'm at least hoping you hear some of it. But guys, if you were live, make sure you go check out the post when we actually post this up on YouTube. You can watch it without any of that shit.
Yeah.
And hopefully Friday, Greg's back. I'm off Friday, so we'll be able to do it at 9 o'clock on Friday for Patreon, which is... Yeah, it's just a call-in show. It's a call-in show. It's not the Zoom party. I'm trying to figure out. But yeah, man, it's going to be a fun week or two. It is. I mean, Cash Patel, I think, is getting in.
I think he's getting in, too.
All the people are starting to fall in place now, right? The cabinet's happening.
I think he's the last big one.
Well, who else is there? I mean, they've all been in now. They've all been confirmed. So I think he is really the last one that's significant where there's... And Adam Schiff is crying. Like, it's going to be fun.
That guy's freaking out.
It's going to be fun.
So is fucking, what's his face? I can't remember his name now. He's so worthless.
Which one?
He's always on
the
floor.
You can't just end it on this.
God damn it. I can't remember his name now.
Old man?
Oh, yeah. I was just fucking watching him.
Nadler?
No.
I mean, you can't just end it like that.
I know. I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll figure it out for the next show.
Fucking.
Oh, are you talking about the fucking dude with the corona?
Yeah. What's his name? I can't remember either.
Brain fart. I can't stand the guy. I know who you're talking
the
about.
The fucking
man.
Guy, man.
The guy that cooked the raw burgers, man. Yes. On the grill. Yeah, dude.
You guys in chat, help me out here. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
Anyways. Jesus can't help us on this one, man. All right, let's cut it because we're just gonna keep it going.
All right.
Guys, we appreciate you hanging out with us. We love you. We hope that you guys have a great week. It's midweek. It's cold for a lot of people, so I wanted to just say, if you got that cold temperature, drive safe. Don't want any accidents. You know what I'm saying? Take care of yourself. Stay warm.
Yeah.
And we will see you Friday for a Patreon show at 9 p.m. Central Time.
Let's do it. IRS is one step closer to being abolished.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.